You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Former controversial Sacramento Kings head coach George Karl joined me for an exclusive interview last Friday on the Locked On Kings podcast. Today, I respond to some of his comments, what I agree with, what I didn't agree with, diving deep into the things that he said about the Sacramento Kings front office, the state of the organization then and now, on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast presented by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for approaching 6 years. This is my sixth season covering the Kings as both an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. And here on Locked On Kings, every once in a while, I get the opportunity to have some very cool interviews. So if you are new, make sure you're checking into Locked On Kings daily, because you never know who will be on. During the regular season, I was able to get a lot of Kings players. I was able to get Harrison Barnes for an exclusive interview, Corey Joseph for an exclusive interview, Rashawn Holmes for an exclusive interview, and then being able to get George Karl, even though he's not as popular as those other three Kings players, current Kings players that I listed, being able to have him here and speak with him in detail about the struggles and what he faced with the Kings organization 5 years ago. It really is cool, and it provides great information for those who weren't too familiar with everything going on, or maybe didn't understand both sides of the story. So to be able to hear George Karl's side was really cool for me to be able to speak with him. Even if you don't like George Karl, I know he's a controversial figure. There are a lot of players that really like him, a lot of players that also don't really like him. He's one of the most successful coaches in the history of the NBA, although he is not yet an NBA Hall of Famer, which surprised the hell out of me. Either way, being able to speak with him and have him here on Locked On Kings was a real treat and was really cool. I encourage you to go and check out that interview if you haven't listened to it already. It was on Friday of last week. It's a long interview, about 25 to 30 minutes, so make sure you have the time to listen all the way through. We're going to break down, and I'm going to play chunks of that interview and respond to it here on today's Locked On Kings podcast in just a little bit. Tomorrow, though, on the Locked On Kings podcast, I'm going to be answering some of your questions. A lot of you have been sending in questions about the resumption of the NBA season, these 8 games that the Kings are going to be playing and a chance to make the play-in tournament and sneak into the 8th seed, potentially, if they can take that spot away, not just from the Memphis Grizzlies, but also beat back the other bubble teams like Portland and New Orleans, who have a real shot at that final playoff spot. I'm going to answer a lot of those questions, if not all of those questions, on tomorrow's podcast. So if you have a question about maybe Marvin Bagley's playing time, what the 3-week training camp is going to look like, if I can answer those questions, whether it be my opinion or the facts that I know, I will try and do my best to answer them either on the podcast tomorrow, or I can reach out and contact you and try and answer those privately. So please send them to me at @MattGeorgeKHDK is how you can send them to me publicly on Twitter, or you can DM them to me on Twitter if you are on social media. If you're not, email them to me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Again, I'll do my best to answer them on tomorrow's Locked On Kings podcast, or I will answer them privately for you. Before we break down George Karl's comments, want to let you know that today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is presented by a fantastic sponsor, Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes, Fiat, Kia, and models, Pacifica, XT5, it is now impossible to stock all of the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand that his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based off of what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all of the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So I don't want to spoil too much of the George Karl interview for you in case you haven't heard it, but I do have six clips from that interview, some of the stuff that he's saying that I want to respond to. If you haven't listened to the interview and you want to, pause this right now, go back to Friday's episode from last week of the Locked On Kings podcast, listen to that interview as a whole, and then come back and listen to the rest of this podcast. If not, I'm warning you ahead of time, a lot of stuff from that interview you're going to be hearing replayed here today, starting with George Karl's comments on the chaotic reputation of the Sacramento Kings that he was aware of before joining the team and how the front office tried to control him while he was here.
You kind of heard the stories before you got there. You know, when you got there, it never stabilized. It never, you know, you're hiring a coach and you're paying him a lot of money. It was kind of strange because they kind of wanted to dictate to the coach or control the coach. And throughout my career, you know, you hire the coach to do a job and then you let him go out and do the job. And it just seemed like there was a lot of, the failures, the past failures kept living with him. And, It was a disappointing 18 months.
First off, it's concerning but not surprising that the Kings had that chaotic reputation, and I believe there still are elements of that chaotic reputation surrounding the team today, although they've done a much better job of smoothing that stuff out and getting things more under control. I will say, too, I do believe almost everything George Karl is saying here. Remember, Dave Yeager had similar issues with the front office and with Kings ownership to what George Karl is saying here, that they were trying to control what he would do. Yeager was given this roster and decided, you know what, De'Aaron Fox is not going to start right away. He's going to come off the bench. And I know he was getting pressure from the front office to play Zach Randolph less and play the young players and give De'Aaron Fox more of a shot early on, where Yeager believed he had to earn those minutes. Same thing with Marvin Bagley last season. Yeager brought him off the bench the entire year and would only play him in like around 15, 20, maximum 25 minutes a night. And he believed that's what the rookie needed in order to earn his spot. So Dave Yeager had issues with the team, maybe not trying to control him, but over suggesting things to him. And it sounds like George Karl got that, but even worse, based off of his recollection of what took place. And I believe that actually did take place. NBA head coaches are definitely less important today, but they aren't puppets and figureheads. The best, most respected NBA coaches, the Greg Popoviches, Brad Stevenses, Steve Kerr, these coaches have the respect, the freedom, and the support of their organization to take control and make the necessary basketball decisions. I believe coaches and front office have to work in tandem, but I believe the front office builds the roster and then has to turn over control of the roster to the coach to play that roster how he sees fit, seeing as how he is the expert of rotations. That is where his money is made. That is where he or she, in the case of Becky Hammon, and hopefully we will get some future NBA female head coaches, as I believe we're on that path, it is up to them, he or she, to make those decisions and own that rotation as their own choice, not the choice of their front office. Although sometimes, like I said, they can work in tandem. They can work together. There's no reason why the front office's desired rotation and the coach's desired rotation can't be the same thing, as long as the front office isn't deciding that rotation for the head coach. George Karl talks about the constant change in the Kings organization and the negative impact that that has had on this team over the years.
I like how the team has played the last couple of years. And I actually thought they played pretty well under Jaeger, too. Looked like they were moving in a positive direction. But change, constant change of the coach, I think is highly overrated. And consistency is quite underrated. And changing the leadership of your basketball team is not always a guarantee it's going to get better. In fact, I think it's been proven most of the time it doesn't. If you take a good situation and change it, it usually ends up being a bad decision. And, you know, I'm not sure that we got to a good situation my time in Sacramento, but I just think they've had way too much change. They haven't made good decisions in the draft. And, you know, when I was there, we thought our roster was somewhat bankrupt of NBA talent.
Remember that last comment by Karl there, that the roster was devoid of NBA talent or didn't have enough NBA talent, because we will come back to that later on. I am also completely on George Karl's side here. The Kings' inconsistency with their coaches in particular, but also members of their front office, has had a direct negative impact and is a major reason why the Kings are in this 14-year playoff drought. I've called it the coaching carousel. I did a whole episode going through the amount of head coaches that the Kings have had since Rick Adelman and how chaotic that has been for this front office and for this organization. Now, we can't put all the blame on this front office, because it's very different from where the Kings were under the Maloofs when Jeff Petrie, was the general manager of the Kings. And then we know there was the Pete D'Alessandro era with Vivek just taking over. So the front office, the coaching staff, they've all gone through a lot of change, and it's everybody's and nobody's fault at the same time, right? But by George's admittance, it wasn't a good situation in Sacramento with him there. So maybe it was the right decision for the Kings to move on from him, but we will hear later on that he believed it could have worked out if the front office had done one thing in particular. Before that, though, Karl talks about Vivek Ranadive, Sacramento Kings owner, calling all the shots while he was there.
Yeah, my feeling was, from what I was told by most of the owners that I spoke with and got to know a little bit, was Vivek was the dictator of the organization, that there wasn't many other voices were heard other than Vivek's voice. I can't guarantee you that's the truth.
Yeah.
Other than it looked from my side that Vivek was the person pulling the triggers in almost every area of the organization, from standpoint of PR, from the standpoint of, but you know, business, mm-hmm. and also from the standpoint of basketball.
I think it's fair to say that Karl is accurate in his outlook here, because remember, early on, we heard a lot of reports when Vivek first took over that he was too involved in basketball decision-making. That seemingly has decreased drastically today, which is a good thing. We went from Vivek talking publicly about playing 4v5 to not really hearing from him at all until the Stephon Clark and Black Lives Matter protests a couple of years ago, which I give him 100% credit for. I love that he spoke out and made the statement that he did then, but for the most part, at least publicly, he has remained quiet and his face has been off of TV and not in front of a microphone when it came to the basketball decisions with the Sacramento Kings. Do I believe he is completely uninvolved from basketball decisions? No, I don't think any owner is. He's involved in some way, shape, or form, but I don't think he's nearly calling the shots like he was when he first took over and when George Karl was here. But again, this is George Karl's opinion. Just because Vivek has stepped back a bit, that doesn't mean there aren't still too many voices being heard and a lack of clear leadership, which George Karl talks about here.
I don't think I was ever pushy with what I wanted, other than I wanted better players and players that maybe played with the personality that I liked, rather than maybe Vivek liked or maybe Vladi liked or whoever. it just seemed like there was too many alpha dogs in the kitchen, and the coach couldn't find space in the form a little bit. So you know, for me, when the situation is saying you got to come together, play like a team, be transparent with your decisions, and open to any and all positive conversation. And that never happened. It never got to that point where there was a comfort zone where everybody was in the room and could say what they wanted to say and knew it would stay in the room and you wouldn't be held, you know, whatever decisions you made, your opinion was respected. If you didn't win the fight of winning the decision, your opinion was still respected.
Yeah.
That boardroom never happened.
So this is where we get really he said, she said. I don't really believe Carl when he says that he wasn't too pushy, because we know George Carl has a challenging and sometimes abrasive reputation. That's with front offices. He had issues with that in Denver. He was fired even after being the coach of the year. And then we know he's had issues with players in the past. George Carl is not afraid to voice his opinion. He is not the most soft guy. He's definitely prickly like a cactus. So I don't necessarily completely believe George when he says he wasn't too pushy. Maybe in his mind he wasn't, but to others he could have seemed very pushy. However, I do believe his frustrations with the amount of decision makers that the Kings had and the lack of his voice being heard. I think those concerns are very valid. We talked about how Vivek seemingly was calling shots, but Vlade was brought in and he was involved. Pete D'Alessandro was still the general manager of the team. George Carl had his ideas on how the team should be run. Those are four voices right there that are trying to be heard. Plus, we know other advisors, maybe minority owners, were involved as well. Just a lot of cooks in the kitchen, and it's very difficult to get anything done or have any real sense of leadership when that is going on. And again, Kings had similar problems with Dave Yeager. Remember his fight with Brandon Williams. Now, Williams wasn't around when George Carl was around, but it happened again. And I think the Kings recognized their mistake, seemingly making it a priority to fix with the hiring of Luke Walton last summer. I just hope that when Luke Walton and Vlade say that they're on the same page, it doesn't just mean that Walton is a figurehead following every direction given to him from the front office. I hope that Walton is able to voice his concerns, his opinions. He can adamantly disagree with Vlade or adamantly disagree with ownership and what they want, and they will respect his opinion, which sounds like never happened with George Carl, at least according to George Carl. George then spoke about the Sacramento Kings locker room, how he thought it wasn't that bad, and he discusses his untradeable comments that caused a lot of drama, especially with DeMarcus Cousins.
You know, I really felt after the first year that the locker room was fine. I mean, I liked four or five guys in the locker room. There were guys on that first year that I was there. There were guys that I probably thought we had to, had to change because we needed to improve our team. But in general, I think the mistake I made was what I've said on the podcast and many times is sometime in April on a press conference, I think before a game, someone asked me, well, you know, what are you going to do over the summer? And I was just philosophizing that. I just said philosophically that in my mind, you got to be open and ready to do anything when you're not a good team. And when you're not a good team, you can't have untradeable players.
Yeah.
In my mind, and I've said that everywhere I've ever been. It's not something I changed because I had DeMarcus. It was what I believed. And so, of course, over time, the writers took that to mean that I wanted to trade DeMarcus, and that was not what I was saying. But I also should have been smart enough not to bring that to the table because DeMarcus and his people, and I think everybody knows that Dan Fagan and Akana, had some problems with me. I've always respected Dan as a hell of an agent. He does a hell of a job for his players, but he's not easy to deal with. So, the whole thing comes down to is that relationship was something that had to be managed by management. And if they would have supported me strongly, I think it would have been fine. But when the agent knows that they can manipulate the front office against the coach, they will use that to their advantage when they have to.
A couple things to break down and take away from those comments. George openly admits that his "nobody is untradeable" comment was a mistake, but he doesn't take complete ownership of it. Did you notice that? For the record, I agreed with him then, and I do agree with him now. Cousins wasn't untradeable. And like George said, the Kings weren't good enough to have a player like that or considered to be that when they were not winning 30 games. But George also says that the relationship had to be managed by management. Since they never supported him, everything went wrong. While I do agree that Cousins and his camp used the front office to their advantage, which was unfair to George Karl, I also think that Karl has to take more ownership and responsibility in the fact that he didn't really help the situation. What I wish I had done is I had asked him a follow-up question right there about if he had tried to approach DeMarcus privately and work things out just man-to-man, just the two of them sitting down, no agents, no one else in the room, just the two of them talking a heart-to-heart conversation. I haven't heard of anything like that happening. In fact, I don't believe that ever happened, which is equally on both DeMarcus Cousins and on George Karl. If he had taken ownership and leadership, he would have tried to do something like that to smooth things out and make things work, to at least have a working, respectful relationship, and that clearly never happened. Probably because George had this opinion of DeMarcus Cousins, that he isn't a winning basketball player.
DeMarcus is a hell of a talent, but he's not a winning basketball player, at least when he was in Sacramento. I thought he was turning the corner towards when he was in New Orleans, and then he's been hurt so much lately. And I really think I brought a new dimension to DeMarcus's game, letting him go outside and play freely and more openly. I think, you know, that's, you know, DeMarcus is one of the few guys who can play outside or can play inside. And I think that's an asset. But he also is playing in the era that the big man is losing its impact and in value in the game. You know, the one thing I was always mystified by is a lot of games I coached with DeMarcus, he was the best guy on the floor. He was the best player on the court, and we couldn't win. And all my times of coaching, when I've had the best guy on the floor, I felt really good about winning. And I don't know if that was me or if that was DeMarcus, if we just had a weak team. But it was really weird when you had the best guy on the floor a lot of nights. And I'm sitting there in the early fourth quarter of a game going, we can't win this way. You know, in the middle of the game, I knew, even though I had the best guy, we weren't good enough to win. And that was strange to me because all of my other times in my coaching career, when I had the best guy on the court, I always felt really good about winning. And so I don't know if the game is changing away from the big guy or if we didn't have enough complementary players to go with DeMarcus, even though I thought we did. And as a coach, yeah, I like winning. I think winning's the best coach in basketball. And we never could get to that factor where every night we went out, we thought we were going to win. You know, we were searching for our winning attitude as the game went on, rather than starting game off saying, we're going to win this damn game tonight.
So I agree that Cousins was never a winning player in Sacramento, but I believe he absolutely could have been. And while George's system did give Cousins the freedom to shoot from outside, I don't credit George Karl at all for Cousins developing that aspect of his game. To me, the fact that George Karl was so baffled with the team not being able to win, even though they had the best player in DeMarcus Cousins, that says to me that Karl wasn't fully prepared to coach the team and that he wasn't as smart or dialed into what would work with this organization, with this franchise, as he seems to believe that he was or is. It's his fault. It's DeMarcus Cousins' fault. It's the team's fault. And it's the front office's fault. that they were never able to work things out. And I think Carl understands part of the blame is on him, but not as much as it really is. Also, I'm not sure if you caught it, but Carl contradicted himself too about complimentary players with DeMarcus Cousins. He said earlier on in the interview that I played for you just a little bit ago that he felt the team didn't have enough talent. He also said in the interview that he felt that they didn't draft right and sign the right players during the summer, the offseason that he was here with Sacramento. Now he says that DeMarcus did have enough talent around him for the team to win games. So which is it, Coach? That's kind of what I don't understand, and that leads me to believe that George wasn't as on top of things as maybe he believes that he was. Overall, I really enjoyed this conversation. I liked a lot of the stuff that Carl had to say. I thought it was great to get his side of the story, even if on a lot of elements of it, I disagree with him. I hope you have learned something from Carl's comments and have an appreciation for what he went through, what the Kings went through, and overall why it didn't work. There's a lot of lessons to be learned from this period, and it's good to see that maybe not all of them, but some of them have been learned and fixes have been implemented by this organization from that point to today. It is time for me to tell you about another one of our great sponsors here of the Locked On Kings podcast. That is Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. These Built Bars are incredibly delicious and good for you. They're a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They have 20 amazing flavors. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew. And on top of that, they're healthy. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy or girl. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. These bars are low calorie and low sugar, but high protein and high fiber, like the peanut butter brownie bar, only 170 calories, but 20 grams of protein, or the mint brownie bar, 110 calories, 15 grams of protein. And I don't know about you, but in the past when I've tried protein bars and protein-based food or things like that, they have a flavor profile to them that I don't necessarily get when I'm eating. I look forward to eating something that says it's mint brownie flavored, but I take a bite into it, and I'm like, okay, I can kind of taste mint, but I mostly just taste protein powder and protein flavoring. That is not the case with these Built Bars. They taste directly as advertised. I'm a picky eater, and if they're delicious to me, they'll absolutely be delicious to you too. You can go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N, and you'll get $10 off of your first order. But check this out. Right now, Built Bar, for this week only, is doing a fantastic deal that's going to a good cause. Built Bar is right now offering up to 50% off of everything, and all profits will be donated to charity. So get yourself a Built Bar, get these delicious candy bars that are good for you, help yourself get in shape and get healthy, and on top of that, your money will be going to a good cause. The deal is not going to get better than this. And remember, use promo code LOCKEDON, L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N, all one word, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Friendly reminder, in case you didn't know, if you want more content with my voice and name attached to it, you can listen to Sports 1140 KHDK, which is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings in the California Capitol. I have been hosting all this week, and for the remainder of the week, KHDK's morning show, The Drive, with Jay Mars, who's my co-host, partner, and friend. You've heard him a number of times here on the Locked On Kings podcast. He and I have been talking sports for 3 hours from 6 to 9 a.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday, all this week. I will be on until the end of Friday, and then it goes back to normal programming with Carmichael Dave and Jay Mars in the morning. But if you want to join us and hear more, we talk Kings, we talk sports in general, from basketball to football to baseball to MLS soccer, all these sports stories, plus a lot of fun and entertainment sprinkled in between. We cover it all. So if you're looking for that, you can catch that AM 1140 on your radio dial if you're in the Sacramento area. If not, don't worry about it. You can still catch it either live or on demand. Download the KHDK app and you can get the podcast form of today's show, yesterday's show, Monday's show, and you can listen to tomorrow's show and future shows live as they're happening, or you can listen on KHDK.com from your computer if you are at work or have it open and available in front of you. So please come and check that out. We have a text line and a phone line. You can call in, share your thoughts, and if you do text in and are listening, let me know you're coming from the Locked On Kings podcast. I really would appreciate that and would love to have your support over there and hear more conversation with you over there. We're expected to have Sam Amick from The Athletic, national beat writer for the NBA. He's expected to join us tomorrow at 8:05, I believe. And Sam is going to provide a lot of information about the Sacramento Kings, about this the games in Orlando and all the details about how that's happening, the bubble, all the questions that we don't know the answers to. Sam is getting the answers to. So hopefully he will share a lot of that with us tomorrow morning. So please join us for that. Also, friendly reminder, we have a contest going on right now on the Locked On Kings podcast. All you have to do is leave a review of this podcast on either iTunes or Apple Podcasts. And it's not just a review out of 5 stars. You also have to leave a little bit of a blurb about what you like, what you don't like about the podcast, anything that's fair that you think that will attract listeners, or just your honest opinion about this show as a whole. And it doesn't matter if you've been listening since I first took over from Jason Ross, or if you started listening a month ago, or if this is your first ever podcast. Leave a review. Make sure to also include an email or some kind of contact information in that blurb, because I will be choosing one of those reviews at random. And if you are chosen, you will win a Kings jersey of your choice from the Sacramento Kings team store. I will order it online for you and have it sent directly to you. I will purchase it myself and make sure that it gets to you. So be a part of this contest. Leave a review. And if you're one of the listeners who has already left a review, don't worry. As long as it's been in the last year, I will include you into the random drawing. So your chance to win a Sacramento Kings jersey from the team store. All you have to do is leave a review of this podcast on Apple Podcasts or on iTunes. I look forward to having you back tomorrow. Remember to submit some of your questions that you might have about the Sacramento Kings, them going to Orlando, training camp, anything like that. If you want my opinion on certain things, or if you want just facts and information that I might know about the Kings and this upcoming Orlando trip, I'll try and answer everything either on the podcast tomorrow or privately. Remember, send them to me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK or email them to me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Thank you for listening today. I appreciate all the feedback and all of the support, and I look forward to chatting with you more tomorrow. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.